Crossroad International Church podcast. We're so glad you joined us. It is our prayer that God will use this message to bring comfort to those who are hurting, give hope to those who find themselves in what seems to be a hopeless situation, and to encourage the one who is struggling through a difficult season of life. For more sermon audio, resources, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit cickuwait.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Ask you a question. If I told you, if I stood here in front of you today, as I am right now, and I told you that I was a professional basketball player, who's laughing? Why are you laughing? This is my story. Yeah, it's the in flip-flops. If I told you I was a professional basketball player, most of you would laugh, some people out loud. Why do you laugh? Why would you laugh at that?
You're not that tall.
I'm not tall. And that's a great, and it also goes the other way too, like, right? Every tall person you're like walk up to them like, wow, it's like, what team do you play for? They're like, what are you talking about? I'm a curler or something in the Olympics. But we have this kind of thing. If I stood here and said that, you would laugh, and it's because I don't look like a professional basketball player, probably in any way, shape, or form, do I? I don't have short shorts, or that was back in the 80s. But because you're looking for something or for a sign or something, me to give you some kind of inkling that I was a basketball player, and I'm not giving you that. And so today, as we enter into this third message in our First John series called Vital Signs, there's something that should be visible when we're followers of Christ, and that's called obedience. And today, the title of today's message is just simply the necessity of obedience. And much like my semi-humorous story of me being a basketball player, a lot of us in here, or a lot of us can if we're not careful, or maybe you are, maybe you're not, can live lives where we're professing to be Christian, but the visibility of our being a Christian is very hard to find. And people do not see it in our lives. They don't see obedience to what the Word of God says or to the Bible and what God has laid out for us. And so I want to unpack this a little bit for us today. If you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read verses 3 through 11 just straight through, and then we'll kind of go back and open those up a little bit. So I'm going to be reading from the Holman Christian. The ESV is on the screens, so it should be pretty close to the same. So beginning in verse 2, this is how we are sure that we have come to know him, by keeping his commands. And I'm going to pause for just 2 seconds. That's a very pointed statement, isn't it? This is how we are sure that we have come to know him. If in the past, at least when I was younger, there was oftentimes, I don't know how many times I went down to be prayed for to receive Jesus for salvation. I don't know if you ever did that because you would get scared and like, well, I better make sure. And so you altar called, you know, like 50 times and hope that one of them took, right? Well, here is kind of that question being answered. This is how we are sure that we have come to know him. Simple, by keeping his commands. By keeping his commands. Let's continue. Verse 4. The one who says, I have come to know him, yet doesn't keep his commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly in him the love of God is perfected. Here's another statement. This is how we know we are in him. The one who says he remains in him should walk just as he walked, he being Jesus. Verse 7, dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old command that you have had from the beginning. The old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light, but hates his brother, is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother remains in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and doesn't know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for today. God, I thank you for this opportunity to just share your word. Father, I pray that you will just use this time, use your word to speak to us. Much as Pastor Steve said earlier, that we hear your word, we learn your word, but God, we need to apply it to our lives, that there needs to be change in us. And so God, I pray that we leave this place today changed by your spirit and by your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So just to recap a little bit, when we started this series, we began in 1 John talking about the word of life, who Jesus is. And it showed us that right standing, the right standing of the historical reality of Jesus Christ is necessary for salvation. And it is the basis for fellowship. And if you remember that message, I unpacked fellowship and what that word meant. But I want you to just think about this word fellowship today. Okay? Fellowship. And it's the cause for rejoicing. And then last week, Pastor Steve spoke on walking in the light and explained that someone cannot have true fellowship with God and still live a life consistent, live a consistently sinful lifestyle. Now, this word fellowship that I mentioned, fellowship, to truly experience fellowship, it starts with God. Meaning, Jesus came so that we could have restored fellowship with God. That's why John here starts with Jesus. Because Jesus is the means that our fellowship with God the Father has been restored. Okay? So, go with me now. So, Jesus came to restore fellowship. That's step one. Step two, now we have fellowship with our Heavenly Father. If you have professed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, and you are a Christian, a Christ follower, then you have restored relationship with the Father, and from that relationship alone can we have fellowship here. And this is where we're going to be headed today. We have fellowship vertically, but we need to look at the horizontal now. And do we have fellowship with one another? And this is something that we need to dial in on, and we are going to be talking about obedience, but you're going to see how closely fellowship is a part of all of this. There in chapter 2, in verses 3 through 6, let me just kind of work through that real quick. This is how we are sure that we have come to know him, by keeping his commands. The one who says, I have come to know him, yet doesn't keep his commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly in him the love of God is perfected. This is how we know we are in him. The one who says he remains in him should walk just as he walked. You see, our assurance of salvation, as I think we've made clear up till now, is not based on some decision we made years ago for many of us. Do you understand that? It's not based on a prayer that you said, because I believe that the church has kind of got it wrong sometimes, in that we've boiled down salvation to this prayer said in a certain setting, and then immediately you're saved. Now, don't misinterpret me what I'm saying. Yes, we ask Christ, and we that is the way we confess our sins. He is faithful to come in and fill us and make us new. But my point is this, and I think it was Whitfield that said it. You know, you see these crusades, and you see these thousands of people come forward for salvation, right? And somebody asked him once, you know, what about all these people and how amazing? And he's like, you know what? We'll see. We'll see in 6 months. We'll see in a year where these people are. And if what they came to pray today, and if it truly was sincere and they meant it. Because again, as we say, we confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. Many of us want a Savior. A lot of us struggle with the Lord part. Yeah? No, none of us want to be told what to do. That's just in our nature. We want to do our own thing. And so we want a Savior, and I think sometimes we respond to that, but But do we make Jesus Lord of our life? Are we obedient to what he's instructed us to do? And so I think some people, you know, I read a book recently, and this guy was talking, he was coming out of a pretty horrific scene, but it was kind of a six-year time period, he said. He said he's not sure exactly when he got it, but it was just like this constant walking towards salvation. He's not sure when it took hold, but it took hold somewhere. And the reason that we know it took hold, because he was keeping God's commands. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm not talking about we make mistakes. Of course we make mistakes. But is your heart truly to please God? Do you take pleasure in doing the Lord's will? That's the question. You see, it's obedience, and you can also call it fruit, right? You've heard this term. I got bored, I don't know, maybe about a year ago, and we had avocados in the house. Nobody has any clue where the story's going, right? We had avocados in the house, so I thought, you know, I never did this as a kid, so I'm going to do the little toothpicks, and you take the pit and you put it in the water. Anybody done that before? Tried it? Did anybody have a plant grow? Raise them high. All three, four, five. Okay, a few. Well, listen, I didn't know any better. I'm pretty stubborn, so I left mine in there, and I did it. And a plant grew. I had two of them, just in case one didn't make it. These plants start growing. I mean, it took forever. And that, like, when the root comes out, it's pretty disgusting looking. And it's reaching down, and then the top will start growing out. And so I'm, like, stoked, right? Leanna can attest. We had avocado trees, branches, I mean, it was this big. Leaves. I'm like, this is pretty awesome, because I killed pretty much everything I put my hand to, and at least with plants. Just for the record, said that straight. Got awkward. I've kept some plants alive, so it's a new thing in my older age now I can do. But anyway, I was reading online, and I read about these plants that you grow from these pits that you have from the store. And lo and behold, it says, yeah, but most likely, it will never bear fruit. Most likely, these things you grow from, it's just going to be this pretty plant and will not produce fruit. Maybe in like 10 to 15 years, they said, because, you know, I got 10 to 15 years to wait on this thing to produce a fruit. And so it kind of, to me, like, why, what's the purpose of this plant if it's not going to produce fruit? Right? And so, again, probably you can see the parallel here is that don't waste your time saying that you're a Christian if there's no fruit in your life. Don't do a disservice to Christians saying you're one if there's no fruit. And I'm not saying this, if you're discouraged with my statement, then we should probably talk after, and we can pray, and we can get you to produce fruit, okay? God can help you to produce fruit. But my point is, and what I don't want you to miss, is that is there fruit in your life? Is there obedience in your walk with God? If there's not, it's a cause for concern. It's a cause for concern. You may or may not truly know Christ. You may know Christ, maybe you're just in a hard season, but that's where we're here to help you, and we can do that. Your love for Christ and a desire to obey him are directly related. You understand that? Your love for Christ and your desire to obey him go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. All right? Our example is Christ Jesus. Our life must be consistent with Jesus. When you read in your Bible and in the Gospels and you see how Jesus walked and the way he talked and prayed with people and ministered to people and loved people, that's our standard for living. And if your life is not lining up with that, then you need to examine that. We cannot claim to abide in him if we do not behave like him. In the Gospel of John 15, if you've ever read that, it's about he's the vine, we're the branches. You remember that? If you've read that, one of the key words I want you, if you ever get time, we're not going to park there. It's here. Go to the next verse, please, Reshma. Next one. This word here, sorry if you guys can't, or here, I'm pointing, abides. The word abides, you see that? Branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, okay? Neither can you unless you abide in me. And you go through that passage and highlight or circle all the times that it says abide. And I would encourage you to study that word and what that means. To abide, that means to not leave, that we have to abide in Christ. And the only way that we can produce fruit, and if you kind of tie this in your head, if we're abiding in Christ, he is the one that produces the fruit in our life. It's not produced by you or me or how hard we try. It's because we are abiding in the vine. We are abiding in Christ Jesus. And from that, fruit comes from our lives. This is why we can't take credit for things that we do right. Because it's all Jesus working through us to accomplish mission and his and proclaiming the gospel, spreading the gospel for his glory. This is why we don't take credit for anything. It's because it's Jesus. And it's Jesus in us that produces that fruit. Verses 7 and 8, let's continue. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old command that you have had from the beginning. The old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Again, you see this in verse 7. He starts with dear friends, or it literally means beloved. And we talked about John and how much he grew. Remember from when he walked with Christ and where he started to the disciple that Jesus loved. And so he is now, let's just keep this going, right? Because of his interaction with Jesus and being and having Jesus and walking with Jesus, what did it do? It's now changed this man to produce where he's, the term he's calling these brothers and sisters in Christ are beloved. He is loving not out of himself, but because of Jesus in him. And is now translated as love to these people. And that's why this term is much deeper than you can see there just in the scripture. It has this very deep meaning. And it's really the kind of fellowship and the love that we're to have for one another here in the body of Christ. And John has it because he has Jesus. God's command to obey is, as I said, loving him and loving others. Vertical and horizontal. You have to have God to truly love others the way that the Bible is talking about. And what I want to do, let's go to, jump over, if you have your Bibles or your phones, whatever, go to John, the Gospel of John real quick. It's really neat kind of reading 1 John, 2nd, 3rd John, but also with the Gospel of John, because you see kind of, you see some places where John has grown, but you also see just some parallels. And turn, if you would, to John 13. And verses 34 and 35. And he says this, I give you a new command, love one another just as I have loved you. Okay, this is Jesus speaking now. You must also love one another. All right, so again, catch that. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must also love one another. You see the connection. First God, vertical, then horizontal. Now verse 35. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now, this is the Holman, and it's very similar in the ESV. Now, this is what I want to read. I was reading from the New Living Translation before when I was studying for this, and this is how the verse 35 is worded in the New Living. Listen to this. I want you to catch this. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And I want you to pause for just a second and think of how you love one another. And I want you to pause and think that our proof to the world that we are his disciples is directly correlated with how people see us love one another in the church. And I don't think that you have to go very far if you've been around for any length of time to see how sad of a state a lot of times the churches have been in where the opposite of love has been shown. And this is everywhere. This is everywhere. You go to denominations, and you have one denomination title up here, but there's about 300 subsets of that denomination because they, you know, didn't like the color of the carpet in the church, and so somebody goes and starts another church. Right? Is that love for one another? Is that showing that we love one another? Are we working through our differences? And here at CIC, this is the beauty of, I mean, I'm looking at this room and look around the room. It's filled with people, all different kinds of people. You have old people, young people, people from all over the world. People with hair on their head and people without. It's beautiful. This is the body of Christ. And that's one thing. Listen, I'll just say it because, you know, like Steve said, some of us say crazier things between the two of us than others, so it's probably me by default. All right, just let me know if I need to come back next week and say anything. But I don't think that it's supposed to be churches in this country that are all Filipino, that are all Indian, that are all Western. I don't think so. I don't think that's how it's meant to be. Do you know why? Because if I'm hanging out with a bunch of people who see things the exact same way as me, who come from the same place I do, and who just think exactly the same, anybody can do that. That's like a social club. Now, again, I'm not attacking any churches here. Just hear me out, my point. But what I'm saying is that this church and what you see represented here, I believe, is the idea of the body of Christ and the way it's supposed to be. Because I love you. And there are some of you in here that, by God's grace, I love you. And you make me work at it every single week. But I do love you. And my point is, that's great. You know why? Because it's making us grow. We're making it work. I'm going to say things, if you hung around me for a while, I'm going to say things that offend you. Not intentionally, or maybe hurt your feelings, and you're going to do the same to me. But if we can work that out, that's the beauty of the body of Christ. That's the beauty of fellowship. Amen? And that is proof to the world that we are who we say we are. And that's what this world needs. You see, church, the people in the world are desperately searching for the authentic. You don't believe me? It started, whatever, was it 10 years ago? Like with reality TV shows, right? Now we know a lot of them are soft scripted and stuff like that, but people wanted to see something. It wasn't good just to have actors on a screen anymore. They wanted kind of a more real. And now look how that's progressed, right? Now you go on Facebook, what is there? Facebook Live. We don't care that it's not shot from exactly the right angle or that it's all like just the way it's supposed to be with lighting. We want the raw data. We want the real deal, graphic or whatever's going on. We want to see it as it's happening because we want it to be real. And so in the church, people are looking for authentic faith, for authentic followers of Christ Jesus. People want to know what's real. Is our product, if you will, it's not a product, it's a person, and his name's Jesus. Is he real or not? You don't have to worry about the product. He's got that covered. The salesperson, if you will, I know this is like an analogy, so don't apply it to every area, but what I'm saying, though, is are we representing Jesus in a way that's attractive to this world? That's what they're looking for. You see, we're saying to people, hey, leave the comfort of where you're at. to follow me, to follow him, because I'm following him. And ultimately, by following what I'm doing, you're following Jesus. But are we portraying something enough to say, come with me to the top of the mountain? Because these people, like, you better convince me that the view is worth it when I get there. And I don't believe that they're seeing that all the time in the church. They see infighting. They see backstabbing. They see division. And so, church, we have to have this fellowship amongst each other, and that is a way that the world knows that we are authentic in our faith. Let me try to wrap this up here, verses 9 through 11. The one who says he is in the light but hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother remains in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and doesn't know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, this is something, I'm gonna hurt your feelings here in a second. And it's only because my feelings were hurt when I studied it. When you read that word hate, what's one thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word hate? Like, what does it mean? Anybody? What is it? Great dislike, okay? Despise, anger, right? What is it? Loathe, right? I hate. We're not supposed to hate anybody, but I hate this speaker, right? You just want to kick it, throw it out the window, whatever. You hate it, right? Yeah. How many would agree with that? Y'all know I'm setting you up for something, right? So nobody's raising their hands. Listen, this ruined my whole week, and actually probably a lot more than that. I don't know if there's anybody in here that would admit that they hate someone else in this church, in the church. Okay? So you're safe, or so you think. The word here, hate, and this shows you when you study and when you go deeper, this is what can happen. This word is called missio, and I want you to get this. And what it does, it denotes a lesser degree of love. Some of you caught it. The word hate here denotes a lesser degree of love. You see, we can write ourselves off really quick, right? Because we don't despise probably anybody in this room. We don't wish anything ill on anybody. But the word here is speaking of loving somebody less than you love someone else in the body of Christ. It's not my material, church. This is what the scripture says. And suddenly, things got turned upside down, didn't they? Where you were kind of zoning off for a second about what you're going to eat for lunch, now you're like, uh-oh, pastor just said something I have to pause and think about, and like, you know what? He may have something here. A lesser degree of love. Let me give you an example really quick. Luke 14. Do you have that there? Go ahead and bring it up. Let's just read here. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned, this is Jesus, and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. This verse I have wrestled with for a really long time. And maybe you have too, but it just got clearer, didn't it? God's not saying, or Jesus wasn't saying, we hate, we despise, we loathe our father, mother, wife, and children. But if you love them more than me, that's where the problem is. And what he's saying is, again, if you love them, they need to have a lesser love. You should love your mother, your brother, all these people less than you do Jesus. Right? Hope you know that. I know it doesn't sound great, but he's not saying that you hate them. What he's just saying is that your love for the people that are close to you should be at a different level than your love for Christ. And some of you need to hear that too. It's because it's called people pleasing. And we want to love people. We want people to love us. And a lot of times we'll sacrifice our love for Christ for just being loved by someone else. That's for somebody here today. We are not proving to the world that we are disciples of Christ because we are not authentically loving one another. And we cannot authentically love one another until we first truly love God. Some of us here have overcomplicated things with following Christ, meaning its two commandments are very clear, and this is what Jesus gave us, is what? To love the Lord your God and to love others, your neighbor, right? Some of us could complicate drinking a glass of water if we were allowed to. Somebody's coming from the desert and they're parched, and you know, my kids do this all the time. They come in the house and they act like they've been like walking across the desert, and they're like fling the kitchen door open, they grab like a bottle of water and good, 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 and water's splashing all over. Imagine if I was like, whoa, 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 no, give me the water. That's not how you're supposed to drink the water. Do you know where this water is from? Let me read the label and just let you know that it was from a spring in Lebanon and was bottled 2 months ago. And now I need you to get a glass, but it needs to be a certain type of glass. And I want you to make sure it's really cleaned up. And then we're going to slowly pour the water, but then it needs to sit for a while to let all the oxygen come to the surface so that we really get the full experience of the water. Do you understand where I'm going? We have overcomplicated loving Christ and following Christ to the point where people just aren't interested. And it's one thing, at this conference I was at, you hear these stories, and it's just, it blows your mind. It's just like, how in the world, but God is doing things. You know why? Because God doesn't need man-made avenues to reach people. God will burst onto a scene. He doesn't need you to pray the specific exact prayer in a certain way. Does understanding need it? Yes, of course, that's good, but it's just like when your child who's two comes and asks you for a sandwich and can't pronounce anything, and he might just grunt and point, which they might still do that even when they're older, but you know what they want. Are you going to withhold food from your child because they can't properly articulate what they want? No. That comes with time. But are we giving grace to people? Are we showing people that we love them and being an example to people, or are we overcomplicating it? And it was never intended. The gospel message is very simple, just so you know. Did you know that? It is very simple. Jesus loves us. He died for us. And it's simply just acknowledging him as Lord and Savior, that we are sinners. We could not save ourselves. And so God sent his son. Worship team, would you come? We're going to close today just with a song and just some time to, I want you to reflect on this message. And one thing God really just struck to the core of me at this time away was the final, there was one message like this, a sermon given, and the speaker, he used a bicycle as an analogy. And he talked about the pedals on the bike, and he said that they represented the word and the spirit of God. And that you need, if you ever watch somebody pedal the bike with one pedal, it's not pretty, is it? I mean, you can't really go, and you're just trying to get like this. And I think where a lot of times where we've fallen off, a pedal has fallen off, a lot of times that's what he was explaining, is the Spirit of God. And so you come to churches, and the Word of God is vital, and it's central to what we do and what we say, but so is the Spirit of God. And allowing the Spirit of God to speak to us, to minister to us, and that's one reason why I want to just give us some time after the message today, is for us to reflect, because I think God has spoken to you today during this message. And especially, again, if we want to be a light to the world and show others that we are disciples of Christ, they need to see the love for one another and that we love them. But this is something that just struck me just so straight to the core. As I look across CIC and I love you and I love what we're doing and I love this the church and what God's doing and the growth. But my question is this. Where are the new believers? I look across this room and I know most of your stories, and most of you came here following Christ. You were a believer when you showed up to Kuwait. And we want to be a beacon, and we want to be a place where Christians can come and worship together and be encouraged and things like that. But if we're on mission and we're doing what we're supposed to do, and I know it's a hard country, I know all that, but where are the new believers? Are we sharing the good news with people? Are we living? Again, because it's not just our words. If we live a life, and this is the point of this message, if people are seeing love, and I hear it when people walk in, but if they don't come into here, are they seeing it out there? The church was never designed to have doors on it and walls and somebody come in to experience Christ. We are the church. We can set up a tent in the middle of the desert, and if we meet there, then the church is there. And God has called us to go in this country, to be in this country, not to make a bunch of money and not to just go on vacations and not to do all these things, but he's called us here because there needs to be light in this country. And if we won't be a light and we won't demonstrate the love of Christ to this world around us, who will? And I love you. I love you guys. I really do. And I'm talking to myself right now too. I'm dissatisfied. And I don't know why it happened this time, and we're about to go away on summer and our minds are going to go 100 different directions. But I just want to encourage you, while you're away and you travel this summer, and those of you that remain here, the church doesn't stop. You can engage now. But when we come back together, I want to come back together on mission and with a purpose for CIC in Kuwait. Church, if now is not the time, then when is? And we're sitting back thinking, oh, I'm just going to be here another year, another few months. We'll just go one more go around, whatever. The next place we get, we'll do better. Just want to challenge you today. I just want to challenge all of us today. This is what's been on my heart, amongst lots of other things. And I mean, God's doing a work inside of me, even as your pastor. And if we're not careful, it's almost like carbon monoxide and how it's the silent killer. And I think complacency is like our carbon monoxide. We stay so busy and we stay so engaged in just what we have to accomplish each day that we miss opportunities that have eternal value. We walk by a person, or we're sitting next to a person, or we hang out with somebody and you see that they're hurting, but you know, you have to get on to the next thing. If it fits, if the shoe fits today, wear it. Some of you in here I know are very missional minded, and I just want to remind all of us that God has called us here for a purpose and for a reason. Would you stand? Dr. Joshua, can you and Mary just step out over here, please? Thank you. Dave, can I ask you and Mary just to step out to the side there? Listen, this is a message that I think there needs to be response. And we're going to sing a song, and we're going to wrap things up here as we close down our time together. If you need prayer today, or if this has stirred you, or you need to just tell somebody, or you just need prayer how to better do this, or what this looks like going forward, then there's Dr. Joshua and Mary over here, Dave Eddings and Mary. Dave Eddings and Mary, two Marys, are over here. And I want you you can step out and pray with them. And I'm also going to be available up front here as well. And if you want to pray, great. If you want to pray where you're at, great. My thing is, get it right with God today. Don't leave this place the same way you walked in. Don't leave this place today, well, that was a nice message. Let's go on and get our lunch now. All right? Don't leave anything here. Walk out of this place different. Lord, we just thank you that when you rose to heaven, that you did so that the Comforter could be sent. the Holy Spirit. And that we are not left alone or just by ourselves to walk this walk on earth. But God, we have your presence, and we thank you for your presence here in our midst today. God, I pray for people whose hearts, our hearts, those whose hearts need to be convicted, that you've done so by your word. And that, God, it has done so in such a way that it's demanded change, that we realize that we are uncomfortable because we see very clearly something in us that doesn't line up with your word. God, this thought of loving one another, and that if we are not doing that in such a way that is evident to the world around us, then we have much work to do. So God, I pray and I just encourage each one here today that they would allow you to just minister to them. And if that means going to someone else in this body today, that they do so. God, that we would move past this because we want to go to what's next and to truly be everything, Lord, that you desire for our church to be here. We first need to love one another in such a way that there's no question when the world sees us that there's something different, that we have what's authentic. I just thank you for your presence here in this place now, the peace of God that is here now. There are those of you here that needed this moment. You're running on your own strength every day, and you're just chasing things of this world that are going to pass away one day. And God has quieted this moment. Just in this moment, he's quieted you to the point where he can finally speak and you can hear, and he's speaking to you now. And do not miss this opportunity to let go of those things that are weighing you down, to give those things to God. Thank you, Lord, for what you've accomplished here today in this service, and that we would leave this place and go out and reach the lost, that we would share our joy with people that need to hear about Jesus, that they need life. Thank you, Lord, for today in Jesus' name.